It often seems as though the advertisers of America are eyeing that young audience. Look at much of the popular media these days. If you're over 54 or 55, you could certainly be forgiven for getting the idea that advertisers and ad agencies don't much care what you want to buy. Well, a new study by the University of Michigan Transportation Research Institute proves that, at least when it comes to buying cars, the baby boomers count. That study finds that 55 to 64-year-old baby boomers are 15 times more likely to buy a new car or truck than 18 to 24-year-olds. Let's talk more about why baby boomers appear to hold the key to success for auto companies as we welcome back John Wilkonowicz. He's an independent auto analyst. John joins us now from Boston. Welcome back to Stateside, John.
Good to be back with you.
So why is the probability so much higher that a baby boomer is going to go in and buy a car and not a younger 20-something? Is it a matter of having money or having the desire in the first place?
I think it's mostly money and a little bit of the desire. The older baby boomers, and I'm one of them.
As am I.
grew up in an auto era. When we were teenagers in the 60s, the car was the most important part of our social atmosphere. You had to have a car to be anybody or anywhere. And, you know, that translates into the way we feel about cars today.
Yeah.
They were important then. They're still important to us now. They always will be important. That's sort of point number one.
Okay.
Whereas I think today's younger people have many other interests to capture their sort of share of mind, and a lot of it has to do with electronic media.
Okay. So, because, yeah, for us, that was your identity, even if you drove Dad's beater.
Yeah.
You know, it really did say who you were. And here in Southeast Michigan, we had the cruisers. They would cruise Telegraph if
yeah.
you were the west side, Gratiot if you were from the east side, and then, of course, the Woodward would go split it right up the middle, and that you're right, that was your life. And you know what I've noticed? Like, I can remember we dragged our parents to the Secretary of State's office on the very day we turned 16
Absolutely.
To get our license. But that another U of M study finds the percentage of 19-year-olds with a driver's license is under 70%, lowest level in nearly 30 years then.
That's a shocking number, because when I was 16, I didn't know anyone in my class who didn't get the license on their birthday.
Yes. And I know, as the parent of a 19-year-old, she turned 16 in October, and we didn't go in for the license till April.
Right.
And that is, I've seen that all around her circle of friends.
It's just not as urgent anymore.
Well, what does that mean then for companies like GM and Chrysler, who we know are recovering from what was a near-death experience? What does that mean for them and all of the auto industry looking forward?
Well, long term, I think it means a slight decline in per capita consumption of vehicles, but I'm not as worried about that. I think what's really causing the disparity in the numbers between young and old today is finances.
Mm.
You know, baby boomers are staying in their jobs longer than people ever have. Many baby boomers intend to work till 70. Some say they'll never retire. That doesn't make it easy for young people to find a job, particularly in a very constrained job atmosphere like we have today.
And then also just the way the millennials and Gen Y are living. When I think of young folks I know that are living in a big city, and if they need a car, they get a zip car.
That's absolutely right. So, you know, in some ways, marketing and technology have come to the rescue. If they have a license, they can get a zip car. Public transportation, I mean, here in Boston, public transportation is fabulous. Most young people that live in the city don't have a car.
Yeah.
And many don't even have a driver's license. It's just not an expense they want to endure. One thing I've noticed, that I do study various generations as part of understanding who buys what vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I've noticed is that today's Gen Y people like to remain mobile. They don't want to saddle themselves down with furniture and lots of possessions. They want to be able to move where the job is or move where the spirit moves them. And, you know, that's a pretty smart way to live your life, unencumbered with stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, if you don't really need a car just becomes an added burden on the finances. They'd rather go out to eat every week in a nice restaurant, go to a ball game, do things that will make them happy rather than have the burden of paying car insurance and the maintenance and payment on that car.
So if I'm a marketing executive sitting at the Renaissance Center for General Motors, or I'm out in Auburn Hills for Chrysler, or in Dearborn for Ford, or any of the other auto companies, what am I to make of this?
I think there's been a bit of an overemphasis on the young buyer, and maybe not in an unrealistic fashion. I mean, everybody looks to the young buyer as the future of the industry.
Right.
So you do have to capture them, because one day these older buyers are going to die out of the market, or at least age out of the market.
Thanks a lot, John.
Well, I'm probably older than you are. But in any case, so you do have to look to the future. But I honestly think there's been an inordinate attempt to capture young people at the expense of the older buyer, such that vehicles are now tailored toward customers who can't afford to buy them.
Very interesting. Give me some examples, for instance.
Well, I think some of the electronic technology that goes into vehicles that an older person might buy is in some ways maybe a waste, or it can even be off-putting. I mean, I remember an example. I'll give you an example from the distant past so that we don't embarrass anyone in the industry. But the 1995 Buick Riviera.
Okay.
If you looked at the demographics of that car, it was bought by people over 65. Pretty much the whole Buick brand was at that time. And it had a touch screen in it.
Hmm.
That frustrated the buyer and actually, in my mind, minimized the sales of the car, because they'd take a test drive and say, I can't deal with that. I'm not going to deal with that. I'll buy something else that doesn't have it.
And I think that story is echoed in offerings that are out right now. But as you say, we won't have any red faces as we listen. But you really do make an interesting point that it might behoove the designers and the engineers to remember who's actually buying the lion's share of the vehicles.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that needs to be considered is the vehicle's design. Baby boomers, as I said, grew up in the 60s. We still like that 60s look. I actually worked on the team that developed the 2005 Mustang, which is a retro car.
Yes.
And which was very, very popular with the baby boom generation. A good part of the work that I did on that program was to look back and see how much retro we wanted to dial into the design.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I think we got that one pretty right. But in the design community, retro is viewed as almost like cheating. It's like, well, I can't come up with something unique on my own, so I'll copy something from the past. Well, no, it really isn't that. Retro design can significantly increase the sales of a vehicle, particularly to an older buyer. I mean, you know, take that Mustang as an example.
Yeah.
Most of us in the late 60s dreamed about owning a Mustang or a GTO.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't afford it. Well, now maybe we can, and now we can have that Mustang.
Yeah.
And if it evokes that time when we were 17 and the world was our oyster, just getting in that car and driving it every day or looking at it in the driveway can excite the older buyer, the baby boomer buyer. So I think there's a place for retro design, I think is what I'm saying.
I'm speaking with John Wilkonowicz, who's an independent auto analyst. He's joining us from Boston as we kind of explore who is buying the cars. And it certainly seems that the baby boomer buyers are the key to success for the auto industry. But so, John, I want to ask you about looking outside of the U.S. What about patterns in key markets overseas, such as, say, China? My understanding is that they run to get their licenses, and that the average age of a Buick buyer in China is 32.
Yeah, and they sell a lot more Buicks in China than they do here.
Yeah.
China is kind of maybe what the U.S. market was in the 1920s in terms of automobiles. Everybody wants to own one. They want to have an exciting one. They can't wait to drive. They can't wait to buy a bigger and better car next time. It's a very upwardly mobile society. You know, and that's where we used to be. I'm afraid that we're headed down the other side of that curve now.
Mm-hmm.
So things are a little different, and that's also true in Europe. You know, what's happening in the United States, very similar things are happening in Europe, and in some ways have been happening longer there. Their cities are so congested, you almost can't have a car. And, you know, many city centers in Europe are prohibiting vehicular traffic.
And in Europe, you're able to get around and live your life without having a car, which in the suburban, you know, landscape of America was well nigh impossible.
Well, that's right. And I mean, public transportation in European cities is superb, and it's also superb between cities. You know, the rail service between cities in Europe is outstanding, and that's something we still don't have here in the U.S. We gave all that up in the 50s and 60s.
When we talk about overseas and saying how they're rushing for vehicles in China, there are jobs then for the young people to be able to have the money to buy the cars there?
Yeah, I mean, even though their growth has slowed in China, they're still growing. So, yes, there is increasing money for young people to drive cars. If you look at the motorization rate in China, it's still relatively low. So there is a lot of upward potential. And again, we keep hearing the news about how China is slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is that the growth rate has slowed down, not that they're not growing anymore. They are still growing at like 6% a year. And, you know, that's pretty strong growth.
But back to here in America, where it does seem to be the 55 to 64-year-olds who are really driving the car sales. So the challenge, not only to the automakers, but to the advertisers who construct the marketing campaigns, what would you say that challenge would be?
Well, I think they've been moving to social media and many of the types of outlets that the young people are interested in. I would suggest that they maybe need to strike a better balance in sticking with some of the traditional media, like television, for example,
mm-hmm.
which will appeal to the older buyer. So I, again, like many things, once you're over 54, you're kind of forgotten in terms of the demographics of America. Marketers are not interested in you anymore. Well, because it's the baby boomer now, that huge baby boomer generation has moved into this over 54 group, I think marketers need to reconsider. I really do. But, you know, if you look at the demographic of the marketers themselves, they tend to be in their 30s. And they, as far as they're concerned, the over 54 buyer is just a dinosaur that's not even worth considering. But, you know, they do so at their peril if they ignore that group.
John Wilkonowicz, he's an independent auto analyst joining us from Boston. It's always a pleasure talking with you, John. Let's do it again.
I hope we can do it soon.